Who is Mammon, the ancient demon of greed? He is the golden idol who transforms human hearts into treasure vaults. His whispered promises turn divine purpose into earthly obsession, making slaves of those who think they're becoming masters. But what ancient power birthed this demon of endless appetite? And why does his influence strike at the very core of human spiritual freedom? Today, we explore the question, who is Mammon? And how has this entity of infinite greed wielded the power of materialism to enslave souls while convincing them they are achieving success? The ancient appetite. Most people think money is just paper and numbers. Wealth is seen as a tool, possessions as conveniences, and success as achievement. But what if behind every credit card swipe, every "I deserve this purchase," and every anxious investment lurks something more sinister? What if materialism isn't just about wanting things, but about serving something that wants you? Meet Mammon. Not just greed, not just materialism, but the ancient spiritual force recognized for centuries as the most seductive destroyer of human souls. Unlike other powers of darkness that attack the body or mind, Mammon goes after something deeper, your very reason for existing. And here's the shocking part. Mammon doesn't usually make you poor. He makes you rich, admired, and seemingly successful, while quietly devouring the things that actually matter about your life. From wealth to worship. In the beginning, wealth was meant to serve a sacred purpose. Ancient civilizations saw material blessing not as neutral, but as either a tool for divine service or an idol replacing divine service. There was no middle ground. The word Mammon itself simply meant wealth or possessions in Aramaic. But when Jesus declared, "You cannot serve both God and Mammon," Matthew 6:24, the word was transformed. Suddenly, wealth was not just a resource, it was a rival. Notice what Jesus did not say. Not, "It's difficult to serve both." Not, "You shouldn't serve both." But, "You cannot serve both." Because Mammon isn't just about having stuff. It's about worshiping stuff. And worship can only ever have one object. Every financial decision reveals what we truly value. Every act of acquisition is a declaration of allegiance, either to the God who created everything or to the force that seeks to own everything. Mammon's method, turning needs into obsessions. Mammon rarely begins with blatant evil. Instead, he exploits legitimate human desires: food, shelter, security, provision for family. These are good and necessary, but then he whispers, "Enough is never enough." He twists natural concern into obsessive accumulation. He transforms healthy responsibility into anxious hoarding. He turns appreciation for quality into compulsive consumption. The pattern is predictable. You work to live. Then you live to work. Then you become what you work for. Finally, what you work for owns you completely. Instead of "I am," Mammon creates "I have." Identity itself becomes unthinkable without possessions. Forms of spiritual slavery. Mammon enslaves in stages. Possessive identity. You are what you own. Competitive accumulation. Life is a race to have more than others. Addictive consumption. Buying becomes being. Sacred materialism. Wealth is mistaken for divine blessing, and greed disguises itself as wisdom. The tragedy is not in owning wealth, but in wealth owning you. The modern epidemic. Far from fading, Mammon's influence has flourished in today's world. Social media has become an engine of envy, constantly comparing our financial realities to others' highlights. Consumer culture has weaponized desire, making shopping a therapy and status a form of identity. Credit systems whisper, "You deserve this, don't wait," turning debt into dependence. Investment culture and influencer lifestyles make wealth not a servant of life, but the purpose of life itself. Mammon's methods have found perfect expression in modern psychology, economics, and advertising. The way of resistance. Yet the ancient texts also provide the cure. The defense against Mammon is not poverty, but stewardship. Tithing and generosity train the heart to release rather than cling. Simplicity guards against compulsive accumulation. The Jubilee principle, where debts were forgiven and property restored, reminds us that no one truly owns anything forever. Jesus revealed the heart of the matter with the rich young ruler. He didn't condemn him for being wealthy, but for being enslaved by wealth. The issue was never money, it was mastery. The final choice. Mammon remains the golden idol, whispering promises of freedom through accumulation, while delivering slavery through obsession. His lure is subtle, but his chains are strong. Yet the way of God offers a radical alternative. Greed enslaves, but generosity liberates. Accumulation breeds anxiety, but stewardship brings peace. Having more never satisfies, but being more always fulfills. The choice is before us, the golden prison of Mammon, or the spiritual freedom of stewardship. Endless accumulation, or sacred purpose. A life measured by possessions, or a life measured by eternal meaning. In the end, the question is not whether you will serve. The question is, whom will you serve?